Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Lamed Aleph. We're at the bottom of Shabbat daf Lamed Amud Bet at the two dots. Today's shir is again for a refuah shleima for all those infected by the coronavirus, and so that we should be zocheh to see an ending to the spreading of the virus b'mehera. Tan Rabbanan olam yedam anvatan kehillel v'lo yeh kapdan kishamai. A person should always be a humble person like Hillel and not a stern person like Shammai. Ma'aseh b'shnei bnei adam. It was a story of two people. Jehimru Zedze, who made a bet with one another, Amru Kol Misha Yelech V'Yaknit at Hillel Yitol Dalad Mil Zuz. So they said, if you could go and bother and get Hillel agitated such that he'll get mad at you, you get 400 Zuz. Amar Chad Mehem Ani Yaknitenu Oto Ani Yaknitenu. So one said, yeah, I can do it. I can agitate him. I can get him mad. It's important to notice the link between the trait that we identify with Hillel as humility and the bet that you can't make him mad, because of the direct link that comes with humility and anger, that it seems that someone who themselves is very humble is more slow to anger because he has patience for everyone. He doesn't believe that other people are wasting his time, or other people, how dare they treat me this way. Or he doesn't have this self-perceived importance that would anger him quickly when other people bother him. Oto ayom erev Shabbat haya. So that was erev Shabbat that day. Vehillel chafaf et rosho. Hillel was washing his head. Halach ve'avar al petach beito. So the man walked by Hillel's door. Amar mikan Hillel, mikan Hillel. Is there someone named Hillel here? Is there someone named Hillel here? V'nitat eif. So Hillel wrapped himself up. Ve'yatzel ekrato, and he came out to greet him. Amar lo b'ni ma'atam vakesh. Says my child, what do you want? Amar le shalai yesh li lishol. Amar le shal b'ni. So he said, well, I have a question. And so Hillel said, ask a question. Shal mipneima roshen shel bavlim skulgulot. So he asked, why are Babylonians' heads so round? Amar le, so Hillel said to him, b'ni, shela gdola shalta. He says, well, what an excellent question that you just asked. Mipnei she'en lem chayot p'kuchot. Because their midwives aren't very skilled. Halach v'himtin sha'a. So the man waited another hour. Sha'achat. Chazar v'amar mikan hil. Came back and said, is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? Nitatev, so Hillel wrapped himself up. V'yatza l'krata. We went out to greet him. Amar lo, b'ni, matam v'kesh. He said, my child, what do you want? Amar le, sha'al, yishal, yishal. Amar le, sha'al. He says, I have a question. So Hillel says, ask. B'ni, sha'al, mipnei ma, enein shel tarmudin, trudot. He says, why are the Tarmudians' eyes so round? Amar lo, b'ni, sha'al, gdola sha'alta. He says, well, what an excellent question you asked. Ma mipnei she darin ben achol, because they lived in very sandy terrains, and the shape of their eyes helps keep the sand out. Halach v'himtin sha'achad. So he went and waited another hour. Chazar v'amar mikan hil, so he came back and said, it's Hillel here, it's Hillel here, and it's Tatev. So Hillel wrapped himself up. V'yatzel ikrata, and he went out to greet him. Amar le b'ni, ma'atam fakesh. Says, my child, what do you want? Amar le shala yish li lishol. Amar le shala, says, I have a question. Hillel says, ask. B'ni, mipnei, B'ni Sha'al, B'ni Ma Raglein Shal Afrikaim Rachavot, why are Africans' feet so wide? Amar Le, B'ni Sha'ala Gadola Sha'alta. So he says, wow, what an excellent question you asked. B'ni Sha'darin Bein Bitsiye Hamayim, because they live in swamp areas. Amar Lo, so as kind of a one last attempt to make Hillel mad, he says as follows, She'lot Harbe Yeshli Lishol Umityare Ani Shematichos. Right, so he says, you know, I have a lot of questions to ask you, but I'm afraid you're going to get mad at me. Nitatei v'yashil lefanav. So Hillel wrapped himself up, and he sat before him. He said, Amar le kol shelosh yesh lecha lishol shal. He says, don't worry, any question that you have to ask, go ahead and ask. You don't have to worry, I'm not going to be mad. At that point, the person realizes that he has no chance of getting Hillel angry. Amar le atahu Hillel shekorin otcha nasi Yisrael. He says, are you the Hillel by whom they call the Nasi of Israel, the leader of Klal Israel? Amar le hen, says, yeah, that's who I am. That's what they call me. Amar le imatahu, well, if you're him, lo yarbu kamot chav Israel. You know, I hope that there aren't going to be a lot of you in Israel. There shouldn't be very many of you in Klal Israel. Amar le b'ni mipnei ma, amar le mipnei ma. She says, my child, like, what's, why? Why would you ask that upon Klal Yisrael? You shouldn't have more people like me. Amar le b'nei shibarti al yedcha dalad meot zuz. Because of you, I lost 400 zuz. That's why there shouldn't be a lot of you. Because I lost 400 zuz because of you. Amar le habi zahir bruchacha kide, habi zahir bruchacha. So he kind of recites for him the entire story of how exactly he lost the 400 zuz. So he said to him, you should be very careful with your temperament. Kedaihu Hillel shita'abed el yado dal no zuz, ve'od dal no zuz, V'hilel lo yakbid. Right? It's worth it to lose 400 zuz because of Hillel's great midot and an additional 400 zuz. Meaning Hillel's control over his temperament is so great, it's worth having a people in Klal Yisrael like Hillel, even if it means you're going to lose money over them. Tana Rabbanan, Mase ben Ochri Echad, Sheba lefnei Shammai. Some more stories about Hillel and Shammai. Right? So there was a story of a certain non-Jew who came before Shammai. Amar lo, kama torot yesh lechem. So the non-Jew said to Shammai, how many Torahs do you have in the Jewish faith? Amar lo, shtayim. He says, we have two Torahs, Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh. We have the written tradition, we have the written law, and we have the oral law, the oral tradition that expounds upon all the written tradition and elaborates. Amar le, shebichtav ani ma'amincha, shebal peh. So the non-Jew says, you know, I believe in the written law that it came from God, but I don't think the oral law came from God. Gayreni almanat shetelamdeni Torah shebichtav. So he says, convert me on the condition that I will learn all of Torah shebichtav. Garbo v'tzio benezifa. So Shammai became very upset with him, and he threw him out because how could you ask to only learn Torah shebichtav and not accept Torah shebal peh? Balifnei Hillel, so he came before Hillel, Gaire, and then Hillel agreed to convert him. Yomakama, but he said to him beforehand, one day he said, Amarle Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, and he started teaching him the Aleph Bet. Lemachar Apich, but the next day he switched it around. Meaning he started teaching the letters out of order, or he may have pointed to an aleph and said, yeah, this is a vav. He pointed to a dalet and said, yeah, this is a bet. Amar le v'ha'etmol lo amart li'achi. And then the non-Jew who was converting said, that's not what you told me yesterday, right? You said these words, these letters different yesterday. Amar le lav alai didi kasamachta de'al pe nami samochalai. He says, it's so interesting because when I was teaching you the letters of the alphabet, which you need to understand anything that you are reading, you had full faith in me that I was teaching you the proper tradition, whereas if I wanted to teach you something different, I could have. I could have totally made it up, but you said no. You have full faith in me that I'm teaching you the right letters. Okay, so when I tell you the Torah Shebaal Peh also comes from God, you should listen to me there as well. Meaning, if you're relying on me to show you the right path and how to learn it properly, then rely on me that the Torah Shebaal Peh is proper as well. Right? And he goes a little bit deeper because when we think about it, the everything we have in our tradition boils down to our oral tradition for these things. I you know, even up until the letters themselves that we know because, well, I know this is an aleph because, you know, my father taught me this is an aleph, and his father taught him it's an aleph, and his father taught him it's an aleph. Right? So all these things are passed down from us to generation to generation, similar to the explanations of the Torah Shebichtav. Shuv Masa ben Ochri Echad, another case of a certain non-Jew, Shebal lefnei Shammai. So came before Shammai, Amar Le, Gairini, Almanach, Tlandini, Kol Torah Kula, Shnei Omed, Al Regel Achad. Says, convert me on the condition that you can teach me all of Torah while I stand on one foot. Dachvu Ba'amat Banin Shabiyado. Right? So he pushed him out with a ruler in his hand because that's ridiculous. How can you request to learn all of Torah while you're standing on one foot? Torah is a very serious endeavor. It takes a lot of time to learn. Balfne Hillel, and it comes before Hillel, Gaira, and Hillel accepted to convert him on those conditions. Amar lo, Dalecha Sani Lechavercha Lo Ta'avid. Right? So while you're standing on one foot, Hillel said to him the following: you want me to teach you all of Torah while you're standing on one foot? Here it goes. What's hated by you, don't do to your friend. If you hate it, don't do it to someone else. Zohi kol Torah kula. That is the Torah in its entirety. V'idach perushia here. Zil gamor. And the rest of it, says Hillel, that's all a perush. It's all an explanation. It's all an elucidation of that one main principle. Don't do to your friend what you hate. Right? So go and learn the explanations now. Shuv masa ben ochri achad. Another case of a certain non-Jew. Shaya over achore beit midrash. He came behind the beit midrash. V'shama kol sofer. Shahaya omer. And he heard the voice of a sofer who said the following: Ve'ela habegadim asher yasu choshen ve'efod. Right, so these are the clothing that you have to create. Right, the choshen and the efod. Amar halalulami. So he asked, who gets to wear the choshen and the efod? Amar lo kohen gadol. Well, these are made for the high priest. Amar oto nochri be'atzmo. So the certain non-Jew said to himself, Elich v'tkayer, so I'm going to go and convert, b'shvil shim sheni kohen gadol, because I want to be that kohen gadol, I want to be glorified with the choshen of the ephod. Ba lifnei Shammai, so he came before Shammai, Amar le, gayreni almanah, she Tasimeini Kohen Gadol. Convert me on the condition that they will make me Kohen Gadol. Dachvu Bamat Banin Shebiado. And he pushed him out with the ruler in his hand. He didn't accept his request. Balafne Hillel Gaire. He came for Hillel and Hillel agreed to convert him. Amarle Kluma Midin Melech Ela Bishiodea Tachside Malchut. But Hillel said to him before he converted him, he goes, you know, it's really not appropriate to appoint a king before you know the ways of the royalty. Lech Lemo Tachside Malchut. So go learn the ways of the royalty. Meaning, you want to be a Kohen Gadol? You should probably learn a little bit about what it means to be a Kohen Gadol. Halach Vekara, so he went and started to learn what the stipulations of being a Kohen Gadol are. Kevan Shegia Vehazar Karev Yumad, right? Then he reached that any Zar, any non-Kohen who comes close will die. Amar Le Mikra Ze Almine Emar. So the non-Jew asked Hillel about who is this verse written that the foreigner who comes close will die. Amar le afilu al David Melech Yisrael. So Hillel said that is written even about King David, the king of all of Israel. Even he who is not a Kohen, if he comes close to the place that he's not allowed to come close to, meaning any non-Kohen who performs any part of the sacrificial service that isn't. Or certain parts of the sacrificial service that can only be done by the Kohen, they will die. And that applies even to David Melech Israel. Nasa oto ger kal v'chomer. So then that certain convert made a kal v'chomer ba'atzmo to himself. Ma Yisrael shenikru banim l'makom. So Klal Yisrael, who were called children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'toch ahava she'avam, because he loves them so much. Kara lehem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. He called them my firstborn son Israel. K'tiv alehem v'azar karev yiman. About them, and even about their leaders, it is written about your average Jew that they will die if they bring close any korban. Said hakarev. I think originally said come close. I think it comes milashon korban, right? So a zar who brings a korban, right? The korban need to be brought by a kohen. Yumat, they'll be put to death. Ger hakal sheba b'makolo b'tarmilo alachad kam v'kama. So a ger, a non-Jew who comes to convert with his staff and with his pouch, all the more so. Meaning, I'm not even a Jew. I'm not even called the firstborn child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even the firstborn children of a Kadosh Baruch Hu are told that if they try to bring a korban, they're going to die. So all the more so me. So I know that I can't be a Kohen now. Vekama balafnei Shammai. So he came back to Shammai. Amarle klum ra'ui ani liot Kohen Gadol. He says, what are you talking about? I'm not appropriate to be a Kohen Gadol. Why don't you just tell me I can't be a Kohen Gadol? Valokti v'torah v'azare karev yuma. Because doesn't it write in the Torah explicitly that a non-Kohen who brings a korban will die? So I know that I'm not appropriate to be a Kohen Gadol. Balaf Ne Hillel, so he came before Hillel. Amarle Anvatan Hillel Yanuchulach Brachot Al Roshecha. So he says the humility of Hillel, there should be many brachot that rest upon your head for your humility. Shikravtani Tachat Kan Veshchina, because you brought me underneath the wings of the Shechina. Liyamim Nizdavgu Shloshtan Lamakom Echad. So those three converts happened to all meet up one time. Amur Kabdano Shel Shammai Biksha Letzardenu Mina Olam. Right, the stern ways of Shammai almost pushed us out of this world, the world of Torah and Mitzvah. But the humility of Hillel is what brought us under the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence. Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, right? We spoke earlier about the. We mentioned the pasuk in Kohelet about the significance of Yirat Shemayim, of fear of heaven or awe of heaven. So Reish Lakish elaborates on that concept a little bit more. Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, vaya. Emunat itecha, the faith of your times, chosen yeshuot, the strength of your salvation, chachmat vedat, wisdom and understanding. Emuna zoser zraim. So this is, he interprets this whole pasuk as a reference to different areas of Torah study. There are six sedarim of Mishnah, six major categories that all the Mishnayot break up into. Right? You have Zra'im, which deals with plants, Mo'ed, which deals with the different special times of year throughout the Jewish calendar, and you have Nashim, it deals with matters between men and women, Nezikin, damage law, Kodshim, right, holy things, Taharot, purity and impurity. So he interprets this pasuk as a reference to all of these things. So Emunah, zeh seder zrayim. So faith, that's seder zrayim. So Tosfos believes that faith is seder zrayim because really, I mean, you put seeds in the ground, but it feels so, you know, so much beyond your control. If you're building something and you feel like everything is in your hands to construct it exactly as you see fit, but the seed, you put it in the ground, it completely breaks up, it completely dissolves. How much rain there's going to be, it feels entirely out of your hands. You just have to have a certain degree of faith that things are going to work out with your planting. Itecha zosred zrayim, your zoseder moed, right? So your times, your appointed times, that is talking about Seder Moed, which deals with all the special times for the year. Chosen, Zeh Seder Nashim. Your strength, that is Seder Nashim. Yeshua, Zeh Seder Nezikin. Salvation, that is the Seder Nezikin, dealing with damage law, right? Because it's salvation for someone that we have laws dictating, laws protecting people from damages. Chachma, Zeh Seder Kachim. Knowledge, that is the Seder Kachim. Vidat, so Seder Tarot. And a deep understanding, that's Seder Tarot, because it's very difficult to understand. Vafilu Hachi, and even still, how does that pasuk end? Yirat Hashem hi otzro. Right? The real value is the Yirat Shemaim. What we value above everything else is Yirat Shemaim. So here, what we basically say is, you could know all six of the Siddarim. You could know all Kol Torah Kula. You could be completely well versed in all the Torah and be a brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham and know so much, but you don't have Yirat Shemaim. It's just not worth it, right? Yirat Shemaim is the central focus. Everything else, even Talmud Torah, is secondary to the value of Yirat Shemaim. Amar Rava b'shasham achnasim adam l'din. So Rava says as follows. He interprets the pasuk completely differently. He says when they bring a person in judgment, omrim lo, they ask nasate ve'natate be'emunah. Right? That's, he's basically just breaking down the pasuk as well. Nasate ve'natate be'emunah. Did you have honest dealings in business? Did you cheat people in business, or did you deal with them honestly in business? And that is a reference to the emunah. Ve'nasate ve'natate be'emunah. Right? You dealt faithfully. Kavati itul matora. Did you set appointed times? That's itim. Set appointed times for learning Torah. Asakta ve'periyavirivya. Right? Did you engage in procreation? Tzipiti leYeshua. Did you anticipate the salvation of the Mashiach coming? Pilpalta bechachma. Did you do pilpulim in chachma? Meaning, did you try to gain deep understanding? Did you try to increase your wisdom? Havanta davar mitoch davar. And did you in learning try to infer deeper and deeper levels of your learning, or do you stay on a shallow level? Even if you did all these six things, when you come before, for your final judgment, the din that we're talking about is your final judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemaim, even still, all those things that he's going to ask you are significant, but they're all secondary to having your Shemaim. Ein li, he otro in ilo lo. Meaning, so if you had it, great, you can go to Shemayim. And if you did not have Yirat Shemayim, even if you had all those other six things, you're still not going to get a good chelik. Mashal adam she'amar l'shlucho. So the mashal is to a person who says to his messenger, ha'ala li korchiti in la'aliyah. He says, please bring up this measurement of wheat to my attic. Halach v'halalo. And the messenger went up and did him exactly what he asked. Amar le yiravta behen kav chomtin. Says, did you mix in a kav of chomtin? Chomtin was put there to help preserve the wheat for an extended period of time. Amar le lav. He says, no, I didn't put it there. Amar le mutav im lo halita. Well, then, it would have been better that you never put it up there in the first place. Meaning, you just think like, hey, I just did you a favor. I did exactly what you asked. Yeah, but you did what I asked, but you didn't put in what it needs to stay fresh up there. So it's just going to spoil in no time. I would rather have it down here and be in front of me than have it out of my reach in a way that is just going to spoil. And that's similar to doing everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, Torah, mitzvot, and all these things, but not having Yirat Shemaim. You could think, hey, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. Yeah, but if you don't have Yirat Shemaim, I would rather you not do everything that I asked you to, because that's the central value. It's like not literally that I would rather, but it's almost pointless if you don't have Yirat Shemaim. Tana Debe, and a similar topic. Tana Debe, Rabbi Shmuel, just I think the only relevance here is that it talks about chomtin, right, this preservative for wheat. You can mix in a kav of chomtin with a larger kur of tivua of grain when you sell it, and you don't have to be concerned that you're cheating someone. Right? You might think that if you buy a kur of tivua of grain, then you should get a full kur of tivua. How could you mix anything else in? You're lying to him. You're not selling him exactly what he's buying. No, but everyone assumes that within a kav of tivua, to preserve it properly, you need within a core of tivua, you should need at least a kav of chomdin, and it's accepted that that's going to be sold together. Amar Rav Huna, kol adam sheyesh bo Torah ve'ein bo. Yirat Shemaim, Dome Legizbar Shemasur Maftechora Primiot, Maftechora Chitzanot Lo Masurlo. Right? If you have Torah, but you don't have Yirat Shemaim, right, you're like a treasurer who received the keys to the inner treasury, but you didn't receive the keys to the outer treasury. So you have the keys to unlock the treasury itself, but there's a surrounding gate that you never got the keys to. So how much exactly are your keys helping you? Yeah, you have the keys to the most important thing in the world, but you can't even get into the building, so it doesn't really help you. Behai aisle, right? How exactly are you supposed to get in? Machriz Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai says something similar. Chaval al deleitle darta v'tar'a ledarta. Says chaval on someone who doesn't have a courtyard, but he builds a gate for a courtyard. What exactly is that gate helping you? Right? He's comparing that to someone who has Torah, who learns a lot of Torah, but doesn't have Yirat Shemaim. What's that Torah ultimately helping you if you don't have Yirat Shemaim? What do you think the purpose is? Right? Amar Rav Yehuda lo bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu et olamo el kadesh yirao mefanav. Right? The whole purpose of the world was Yirat Shemaim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for Yirat Shemaim. It's a deeper topic that it's really not the time to get into now. What exactly it means that the world was only created for Yirat Shemaim. Shneimar, as it stated, Ve'elokim asa shiro mefanav, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was for the sake of the awe that should exist before him. Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar havu yatvi. So Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar were sitting. Chalif Azil, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha passed by them. Amar le echad l'chaver, one said to his friend, Niku mikame, we should stand up. The gavar dechayel chatayin hu, because this is a person who has fear of sin. Amar le idach niku mikame de gavar bar urian hu. And the other one says, no, we should stand up for him because he's a massive Torah scholar. Amar le aminalach ana de gavar dechayel chatayin hu. V'amar tali at bar Urian hu, I tell you that he's a person that's worthy of standing up for because he's a person who fears sin, and you're telling me that the real reason he's worthy of standing up for is because he's a Torah scholar? And obviously, that if a person fearing sin is more important than being a Torah scholar, right? So clearly, the thing that I said first was a more significant reason to stand for him. Tistaim to Rabbi Elazar who damar the gavur dechayel chatayinu. Right? We didn't exactly say who was who, but let's try to learn out that it's Rabbi Elazar who said the reason to stand for someone is because they fear sin. Damar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Yochanan said in Rabbi Elazar's name, Ein lo l'Kadosh Baruch Hu lamo el Yirat Shemayim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu only has in this world Yirat Shemayim bilvad. Right? Shnei Amar, as it stated, V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem l'kecha shoel mi'imcha ki im liyara'o. As it says, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu only asks of Klal Yisrael that they have Yirah. V'chtiv, and it's similar, it's written, V'yomer l'adam, hen Yirat Hashem hi chokhma. It says, Hain, the fear of Hashem is wisdom. Shekein b'lashon yivani korin la'achat hain tistayim. Right, because the in Greek hain is also means one, and so the one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants is people to have Yirat Shemayim. Alright, so yeah, we can properly learn out that Rabbi Elazar is the one who believes that fear of sin is the ultimate reason to stand for someone. Darash Rav Ula. Rav Ula darshan the following, Ma'irichtiv, what is it that is written? Al tirsha harbe, harbe hu delo lirsha, hameat lirsha. Ma'irichtiv al tirsha harbe, don't be, what does it mean that which is written, don't be excessively wicked? Harbe hu delo lirsha, hameat lirsha, you shouldn't be excessively wicked, but you can at least be a little bit wicked. Ela, misha achal shum, varecho nodev yachza v'yochal shum. Rather, someone who ate a garlic and his breath smells terrible, should he go back and eat more garlic? Achar v'ya recho nodif, right? After his breath already smells bad. Meaning, what exactly are we trying to say here? There's a tendency to believe that once you do something wrong, you kind of like, you're already in that category. Hey, you know, my breath already smells bad, I might as well eat whatever I want. No, even if you were already did something wicked, don't think that because you did something wicked, you're like, you're despondent. You don't think that you could just go ahead and do whatever you want now and just say, well, I'm already bad enough as it is. I could just go ahead and do whatever I want. There's always coming back. There's always a value to not doing more bad things, regardless of what you did. Don't use that as legitimacy to allow yourself to do worse things. Darash Rav Bar Rav Ula. Rav Bar Ula. By the way, these are all just different things from Kohelet that we're saying that we're just darshening out from Kohelet because of our earlier mentioning of Kohelet of Shlomo Melech making statements in Kohelet that seemed contradictory, and so they wanted to include it in their canon, and now we're just expanding on different psukim in Kohelet. Ma'i dichtiv, what is that which is written? Ki ein chartzuvot lemutam, there is nothing binding them to death, ubari ulam, and they are, and yet they are very, very healthy. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayan lo resha im she'in en charadin va'atzavin miyom amita. It's not enough that the wicked are not sad and afraid of their death day. Ela shelibam bari lehen ke'ulam. Rather, they're still, their perspective on the world, they're so confident and so healthy and so confident in this world. Meaning, not enough that they're not, that they don't fear that they're, you know, wickedness is going to come back to haunt them, but also they go through this world with such undeserved confidence. V'hainu d'amar Rabba, and that's what similarly what Rabba said. Ma'ay dichtiv zed darkam kesel lamo. Yodin Rishayim Shadarkam Lamita Vyeshlem Khalev Al Kislam. What that pasuk means that the Rishayim know that their ending is going to come to death, and yet they don't think about it because they enjoy the fats of this world. They're so engaged in the physical pleasure of this world, they're so happy, so content that they don't think about the fact that deep down they know, if they're honest with themselves, they know at the end of the day they're going to die and they're going to face judgment for what they're doing. Shema Tomar Shichachahi Mehen, and maybe you say they're so deeply involved in the pleasures of this world, they totally forgot their death day. In which case, if they're completely unaware that there is a final accounting for what they did, then you can barely hold them accountable. They didn't realize that they were going to be held accountable for their actions. Talmud Lomar, Vacharein Mefir and Yirtzu Selah. No, because we do know that they do talk about their death and the wickedness that is waiting for them. Kichas Alaner. So let's go back to the Mishnah. It says that you put out a candle in order to spare the candle itself. You put out the flame in order to spare the candle itself so it doesn't completely burn out. Rabbi Yossi Kiman Sfirle. So who does Rabbi Yossi hold? Whose opinion does Rabbi Yossi go by? Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Remember, there's a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether or not you're chayav for doing a malacha when it's not the malacha for its defined purpose. You have to do the malacha in its exact form, and you have to do it for its exact purpose in order to be chayav de'oraita, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, you're chayav as long as you do the malacha. Afilu bahanach nami lechayav. Right. So Rabbi Yossi says that you're putter for putting out you're putter when you put out the wick. When you put out the flame in order to spare the wick, right? So why would you be putter there? If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then you should definitely be chayiv there. Vik Rabbi Shimon svarle ptila nami liftor, right? And if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that if you do something not for its defined purpose, then you're putter. Then even if you put out the flame in order to spare the wick, you should be putter. Why exactly does he hold that you're chayiv by the wick? Sorry. I think I explained Rabbi Yossi's shita wrong. Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayiv for putting out the flame in order to spare the wick. However, you are putter for putting out the flame in order to spare the candle, right? So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you should be chayev even by the candle, and if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, then you should be putter even by the wick. Amar Ula leolam k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirle. Ula says, really, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Gasav Rabbi Yossi soter al menat lifnot b'mekomo have soter. And so he does like hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you're chayev even if you don't do it for its absolute defined purpose. However, he holds by the following principle, right? That in order to be chayev for the destruction of something, all malachot need to have a constructive purpose, right? And so if you destroy something purely for the sake of destruction, then you're not chayav on a de'oraita level, right? It's only if you destroy something for the sake of rebuilding it that you, rebuilding it better, perhaps, are you going to be chayav. Because even in destruction, it's a constructive purpose. And he takes it even one step further and says it has to be rebuilt in its exact place. If you relocate the thing, right, then it doesn't constitute, meaning if you're destroying something and then you're going to rebuild it somewhere else entirely, that actually doesn't count as one action that is a destructive action for constructive purposes. Because you're rebuilding it somewhere else. So the destruction and the construction are two separate things. It's only if you're going to destroy it and rebuild it in the exact place that it's ultimately we see it as a constructive act. And so, because even if you put out the wick, and you're going to relight it, if you're going to relight it in a different place entirely, then we don't classify this as a constructive act ultimately. So even though he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a melacha shenetzricha legufa is chayev, meaning if you do something not for its defined purpose of the melacha is chayev, here because it's not constructive, it's destructive, and just because you're going to relight it, if you relight it somewhere else, that doesn't count as what you're doing here is ultimately constructive, then it's still potter. I'm not leaving out shalom b'mekomo lo avesoter. Right? If you want to rebuild something not in the place that you destroyed it, that's not actually considered the problem, the malacha of soter. Amar le Rabba Michti. So Rabba says to him, let's see if that really holds water. Kol malachot yalfin and lumi mishkan. We learn all the malachot from the acts done in the Mishkan. Anything that was done in the Mishkan was the 39 malachot. Right, the things you can't do on Shabbat are the creative acts done in the Mishkan. Vatam sotam livd lo shlobim komohu. Right, and there by the Mishkan, the whole Mishkan itself was destroying for the sake of rebuilding somewhere else. How did the Mishkan work? It was a portable temple. Right, they would put it up in one place, and then they would break it down and put it up somewhere else. How are you going to tell me that breaking something and putting it back together in a different place is not the malacha of breaking something when the entire Mishkan itself was broken down and put up in a different place? No, it's different by the Mishkan itself, because there, the Mishkan, it says explicitly that you put it up wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to put it up. Wherever God tells you to put it up, that is where you put it up. So it's like you put it up in the same place. Even though you didn't put it in the exact same location, every time you put it exactly where God tells you to. So it's like putting it up in the exact same place. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Le'olam K'Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yochanan has a different understanding of Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Rabbi Yossi, he believes that Rabbi Yossi actually paskins not like Rabbi Huda, but like Rabbi Shimon. And then you have to explain why you would say it's Chayev by the wick. K'Rabbi Shimon Svarale. He was like Rabbi like Rabbi Shimon, Umayshna Patila. And so, why is it that if you put out the flame to spare the wick, you're going to be chayev? Rabbi Shimon should say it's pater. Keda Amar Rav Amnuna, right? It's similar to what Rav Amnuna said, or in accordance to what Rav Amnuna said. Itema Rav Ada Bar Ava, alternative Rav Ada Bar Ava. Hacha Patila Shitzarech Lahavava Askinan. Because we're talking about a wick that needs to be singed in order to light properly. Sometimes you have a brand new wick and it doesn't light properly. You have to singe it first, and then it lights much more easily. Debahi Afilu. Rabbi Shimon Modi dekamitaken mana. In that case, even Rabbi Shimon would believe that by lighting the wick and then putting it out and therefore singeing it, it makes it easier to light, and that's actually fixing the wick. That's doing something to the wick that's correcting it. That's fixing it. It's making it easier to light. In which case, it is definitely constructive. And even Rabbi Shimon, in that case, would agree that this would constitute as the malacha of fixing something on Shabbat. Right? Amar Rava dekanamiktani. Similarly, you can infer that this is the proper understanding that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon. The Katan is we taught in the Mishnah shehu oseh pecham, right? That the Mishnah taught that what is the problem with putting out the wick that you'd be chayev, that you are creating a pecham, you're creating like a coal, right? Velo katani mipnei shenasit pecham, and it doesn't say in the Mishnah because the wick became a coal. Rather, it is because you are making a coal. We can be very particular in our language here. In fact, it doesn't say that you inadvertently made a coal, or a coal was made by extension of your actions. Rather, you made a coal. Right? That's exactly why you were doing it. You were putting out the flame in order to singe the wick itself, such that you can make it into a coal, so it's easier to light the second time. Shema Amina. Yeah, you can. It certainly seems like that is the case, that you hold that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, and the only reason that he says it's chayiv here is because we're talking about a specific case of a wick where you put it out intentionally in order to correct the wick, so it's easier to light the second time around.